This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. I'm still waiting for my car to get fixed. I'm coming to you from my dining room. You can always join us, though. You can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. But before we get into our discussion and we start recombobulating, it's time for Civic Media's latest statewide text to win contest. Our grown-up gift list contest is underway. Here is the word that you need to text using the Civic Media app. You have until noon to text in the word wish. W-I-S-H. Wish is the word, not Dan. Which. It's wish, W-I-S-H. Text the word wish until noon via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running. This hour, we're playing for an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. You have four chances every day in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours to pick up, again, either that overnight stay or $100 in cash. And then everyone who enters, whether you win an hourly prize or not, is going to be in the running for 8 grand prizes, including espresso machines. We have robot vacuums. There's a snowblower up for grabs. So text the word WISH, W-I-S-H, via the Civic Media app, and you could be a winner like Thomas from Greenfield, Jeff from Augusta, Brody is in Wisconsin Rapids, and also Mike from Cottage Grove. Those were our winners yesterday. You could be among them. Text the word WISH, W-I-S-H, via the Civic Media app, and good luck.
I have a statement I'd like to make.
Yeah, please.
If you are listening to this during the replay at 3 o'clock in the morning, you cannot text us. It does not work. Stop getting mad at us. People are texting us.
Are we still getting texts about that?
Yes. People are like, I can't text. It's a replay. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
It's a rerun, so it's not live. And there's, I'm sorry, but you do have to hear it when it's actually happening. So text the word WISH, W-I-S-H, and spread the word. Tell your friends and family to download the Civic Media app. All right, Dan Schaefer, let's start recombobulating. What would you like to begin with today?
Well, first I want to just quickly address that 3 a.m. People are trying to text at 3 a.m. to win this contest. It would be a great way to set up some sort of a prank, though, right? It's like when you in the old days, whether you would show like somebody on the VHS tape watching winning the lottery numbers stuff like that. It would be a great way to mess with people that way. But it's time to recombobulate. Let's settle in for some recombobulation.
Yeah. Do you feel that need, Jane, to recombobulate?
I every day,
every
but
day.
Mainly on Fridays.
Exactly. Mainly on Fridays.
There it is.
Well,
yep.
So I guess one story I wanted to talk about today, because I think this is kind of flying under the radar nationally. Of course, I want to talk about some of the state and local stories that have been in the news this week, and as we always like to do when we recombobulate on a Friday. But there's a story out of North Carolina that I think is kind of flying under the radar a little bit here. And there is a great report from Ari Berman, who you may have heard on the Civic Media airwaves a couple times over the last few months. Somebody I've talked to, a voting rights reporter for Mother Jones. He wrote a piece this week detailing some really troubling kind of post-election shenanigans that have been happening in North Carolina. They had a state Supreme Court election there, and it was very, very close. North Carolina, of course, one of the, you know, 7 swing states in the presidential election, had a very close race for state Supreme Court there as well. So initially, So what happened after trailing by more than 10,000 votes on election night, Ari Berman writes, Democratic North Carolina State Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs pulled off an unexpected victory by 734 votes after absentee and provisional ballots were counted and the results were affirmed by two recounts. That has not stopped the Republicans in the state from pulling all sorts of shenanigans to try to essentially overturn this election. It is, he's characterized it as a nonviolent January 6th. So even though, you know, Trump won this election and they've decided, Republicans have decided, yep, everything was fair now just because our guy won. That's not necessarily happening in every race across the country. And I think this one, you know, is especially troubling because of some of the tactics that they are using there, trying to call into question some of these provisional ballots, some of these absentee ballots. And there, you know, it is just another example of Republicans still, even though, you know, their guy won this time, they are still challenging the election results, and they are still taking these anti-democracy, small-d democracy matters into their own hands. And I think it is really troubling. And not only are they doing that, they're also kind of coupling this with some of what we've seen in Wisconsin over the years. Like, kind of, it's a callback to what happened in 2018 when the lame duck session, you know, stripped powers from the incoming governor, and they have a Democratic governor who was elected in North Carolina as well. And they're kind of also taking that route. So a lot of troubling stuff happening in North Carolina here.
Well, isn't this essentially moving forward? Unfortunately, I think it's always going to be now. If our guy won, then it was a fair election. And if he lost, it was rigged.
Yep.
This is just what it's going to be for forever.
And I think that speaks to something more troubling than just like the whining that they have over not winning and all of that. I think it just Republicans just fail to recognize Democrats winning ever. Like, it's just I think it's one thing to, you know, say, oh yeah, things were fine this time because our guy won. It's just they never recognize a legitimate victory by the opposition party, which I think is really troubling in the long term.
And also the thing that gets me so upset about this is it is such a ridiculous course of action. And they're not just doing it to the governor, they're doing it to the top Democrats who won elections in North Carolina, every single position. I think it's governor, lieutenant governor, I think the attorney, state's attorney general. They're stripping their power, and they're just doing it, and there's no uproar from the people. I want to propose to you all a world in which let's just say Scott Walker wins an election. He beats Tony Evers in the next election, but yet the assembly and the Senate is completely controlled by Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think would happen if the Democrats tried to roll back the power of the governor once those stories hit? This is, once again, the GOP being able to do whatever they want with impunity, and there's outrage from some of the press, some of the people, but then they just get to do it anyways because they know that our rage is going to quell. We're going to move on to the next thing, and they're going to keep stripping power and keep hoarding their own power for their own liking. If a democratically controlled state house even attempted to do this in the modern age, it would be all out nuclear news warfare.
Yeah.
Period.
The two parties are absolutely held to different standards.
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. 100% held to different standards.
Yeah. Look at the people who ran in the party. I mean, you had Kamala Harris, who couldn't have a creased cuff in her pants versus Donald Trump, who was like, well, he didn't trip and fall and set the podium on fire for the debate. He did wonderful.
Right, right. Well, and
standing standing there swaying to music for 40 minutes. That was completely
yeah.
normal.
But oh my God.
Anyway.
A winning message, Jane. Yeah. A winning message. Yeah. Maybe we should learn something from that. You know, just stand up there and just do whatever and say this. But I think what's, you know, Democrats in North Carolina, as this story details, they won every other statewide election besides the presidency. So it was kind of a bright spot for the party. There's, you know, some, Ben Wickler has championed their state party chair, the Democratic state party chair, a young woman there. I'm blanking on her name at the moment. But, you know, they're doing well there to start making a red state more purple, right? But at the same time, these decisions have really lasting and nationwide implications because in North Carolina, their state Supreme Court, gerrymandered their state to have a really unbalanced congressional map. And so it is because of that North Carolina gerrymander that we are going to have a Republican House majority. And so it's another example of why these local elections are so important, yeah. Not only to the states in which they represent, but those matter nationally. And so that is going to be the difference in whether, you know, Mike Johnson has the gavel or Hakeem Jeffries has the gavel mm-hmm. in the House because of what's happening in the state Supreme Court in North Carolina.
I wanted to just make it clear. Her name is Anderson Clayton. And there's something about Anderson Clayton that's very, very familiar with Ben Wickler. Younger energy. Mm-hmm. We need that young energy in those state party chairs, those upper positions of power in Democratic parties, because they are going to bring the fire and that, like, you know, she looks like she's in her 30s. If she wants to live in North Carolina for the rest of her life, she wants investment. She wants buy-in. She wants a reason to buy a house and have a child, get married, all those things. And those kinds of individuals, those are the individuals who need to be running those parties, because they are going to say, nope, we're going to do things our way. We're the young ones. Let's do this right. And I love it. I love it.
Got to pass that torch.
I want to go back to that article in Mother Jones. Mother Jones, by the way, does incredible work. If you would like to subscribe to a publication, Mother Jones should be on the top of it. But as you mentioned, Dan, she won this Supreme Court race, Allison Riggs, by 734 votes. They did two recounts, including a hand recount. Mm-hmm. And yet it still hasn't been certified because her opponent, Jefferson Griffin, has challenged the validity of more than 60,000 ballots, including Riggs' own parents.
Wild. Wild.
That's
absolutely
crazy.
Wild.
And as we know, when you challenge ballots, we learned this in 2020, it really comes out sparkling for the person who does the challenging. You know, it really, really works. All 61 court cases came through. Just kidding, folks. He lost 60 of those. So, I mean, this is just, as we said before, the GOP gets to do what they want. They get to be the petulant babies throwing a temper tantrum, and we all have to watch it happen. And eventually, we move on. Then the Democrats have to be the ones say, well, I thank you for your support, and thank you. So, you know, I mean, it's just not.
Oh, congratulations on your victory.
Exactly.
All of that different things. And I think that is good, right? It's ultimately a good thing to recognize a legitimate victory. But it just goes to show how the two parties are held to different standards.
Absolutely.
And I think it is, you know, we're not seeing the same nonsense that we did 4 years ago. But it does not change the fact that the Republican Party still is in many ways an anti-democracy party.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Cal Viente on the board, coming to you from our home at the Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We are in the midst of our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. The word you need to text before noon via the Civic Media app is WISH. W-I-S-H. The word is WISH. Text in the word WISH, and you could pick up an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Your next chance is going to be in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd. By the way, Greg Bach, we've narrowed the lead with Todd Alba slightly. He is still in the lead. But Todd Alba Show, 180 so far. Matinair on Air, 157.
Okay. See, okay, here's the thing, though, Jane.
Now I feel competitive.
Okay, there we go. You got the spark lit up. We're gonna get you running down the street, a la Rocky, drinking some egg yolks. We're gonna do this thing. We're gonna have you eating thunder and crapping lightning. We're gonna do this.
let's get those entries in, you guys. And what about those bonus entries, Greg?
The bonus entries. I'm thankful for you asking about that. Here's the thing: is when you type in your word, you enter the contest.
Wish.
W-I-S-H. You are going to get a thank you from Civic Media. You will then get an opportunity to do something, whether it's fill out a form, whether it's sign up for our mailing list, which is a wonderful mailing list. It's not spam. It's not it's a very, very succinct, great mailing list, very good newsletter you get from us. You'll get a bonus entry.
And that could be enough to put our show over the top.
Or, you know, it could help you win. I'm going to look from their point of view, not so much our point of view.
Love that,
yeah,
too.
Jane's competitive.
Jane, see, the thing is when we started this contest earlier this week, she was all like, I don't care.
Well, he's beaten us twice.
But that, you know what? So what?
It's tight.
That's my point. If we're gonna go for it, we gotta go for it. We can't just quit. So put those bonus votes in there, folks. Get in there. Text us.
Put us over the top.
Text us for Jane. Do it for Jane, because Jane's competitive.
Yeah. She's secretly competitive.
I'll be in training over the weekend.
There you go. There you go. All right.
We'll look forward to the Rocky montage on Monday Jane training to win.
This wasn't worth it.
That's a pretty good approximation, Greg Buck. Text the word wish, W-I-S-H, and then, like Greg said, do one of those extra little things and get a little bonus entry for yourself. So, all right.
Get in there.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about the hijinks that are going on in North Carolina with the Republican Party there pitching a fit over this Supreme Court race. It's not done yet, is it, Dan?
No, I don't believe so. But you know, it's something we should all be paying attention to. I think.
I feel like it'll be done when someone's sworn in.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget, a la Eric Hovde or Donald Trump, it doesn't matter if this guy concedes or not.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. Like it doesn't keep someone from being sworn into power. That's just the professional nice thing to do is to acknowledge the loss, acknowledge their win. Move on, but the concession is just ceremonious at best.
Yeah.
In my opinion, she has won by two recounts and an election.
Right. Right. You know, this is our system. It's the first past the post. And if you're the winner, then you should concede. You know, if we have kids all over the state in their basketball games this weekend or whatever it might be, shaking hands at the end of the game, we should expect the same from our elected officials, should we not?
Elected officials, please be as professional as seventh graders. Thank you.
That's right.
Give them something to shoot for. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, give them something to shoot for.
Dan,
it's so disappointing. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, Dan, you wanted fake elector news information, which is late to the game here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so that was also – wanted to recombobulate on some of the big news of the week and some of the big political news of the week. And some of – you know, it seems like the news cycle has a little bit – I don't want to jinx it, but it doesn't seem as insane as it has been for the last few months. Greg's shaking his head. He knows I just jinxed it. But there were some charges in the Wisconsin fake elector case that advanced – this week, and there was some reaction from Trump's attorney Jim Troupas. A couple things that I think I'm a little bit discombobulated by about this story. Okay. For one, it is December 2024, and these charges are about something that happened in January 2021. You know, it seemed so long, like Josh Call was just really slow walking this case, and it was just I'm sure we could talk to Maggie Dawn, who probably has a little bit better understanding of how these things move in the legal process and all of that, but it's also just like we're past the next election and we're still getting charges from the last one. Like, why was there no sense of urgency for the past 3.5 years to bring up these charges and hold people accountable before the election and not after the fact? Because it, you know, seems to be relevant to the voters, to whether your votes are going to try to be overturned by people who are not held accountable the first time. So that my first reaction to the story was that, and it's just like, okay, do people still have the same sense of urgency for this? Is there the same level of interest? Are people still wanting the same level of accountability since we're already through the next election? And like, I think, you know, people who did something wrong and broke the law should be held accountable. But I'm also just like, why did this take 3.5 years?
And I think there's a lot of frustration. I think people are really frustrated with Mr. Call. I do.
Yeah. We've seen it on the text line.
Yep, absolutely. And if he's considering, you know, running for governor or something, I don't know about that, because I think there's a lot of people who feel the same way, Dan. It's like, why on earth has this not happened before? I mean, wasn't Wisconsin one of the last states to go after their fake electors?
We were the last state. Yeah. Every other state had indicted these individuals. And we had Jim Santella on and we talked about this. And even Jim Santella had an answer of it's if he wants to or not. And it seemed like at the time he didn't want to. And no one could explain why.
I still don't. I just don't understand it. And so then there was this press conference this week that Jim Troupas had, and he stood up there and said Josh Call should be ashamed of himself for looking to prosecute him. He's probably going to get a little bit more sympathetic reaction to that than he maybe would have. Oh, I don't know. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
News is coming up next, and then a bonus round of recombobulation. Dan Schaefer will be here when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Mock, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, you have until noon via the Civic Media app to text in the word WISH, W-I-S-H. WISH is the keyword for this hour, so you can have a chance at picking up an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells, and then be in the running for one of 8 grand prizes. Whether you win one of the hourly prizes or not, everybody is going to be in the running for one of 8 grand prizes, including a snowblower. We have espresso machine, some nice luggage sets, also robotic vacuums, all of that. Just text in the word WISH, W-I-S-H. And then don't forget about those bonus. You can get one bonus entry, right, Greg Bach?
Just one. We had to make very clear. I screwed that up a long time ago.
So when you text in the word, you will get a message from Civic Media. Gesundheit.
Thank you.
You get a message from Civic Media. You click on that.
Yep. You click on that. It gives you the opportunity to do a variety of things, whether it's sign up for a newsletter or, you know, we had people register, making sure they were registered to vote before. There's a menu of options. You click one of those options. You complete that task. You get a bonus entry into the contest.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Get those bonus very votes nice. In, baby.
That could put us over the top. That could put us over the top.
Don't let us down.
Next week, we wrap up the contest will end next Friday. So again, spread the word. If you have a friend or a relative, tell them to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor. We're going to talk unemployment in Wisconsin. How are the numbers looking?
You know, I think this is one of the, you know, we can overlook a lot of economic stories. When you're in a campaign, you're spinning all of these different things. So I took a look at where Wisconsin's unemployment rate was, and not just Wisconsin's rate, but just kind of by municipality. And I think people might be surprised to learn that the Milwaukee metro area has the fifth lowest unemployment rate of any large metro area in the country at a 2.9% unemployment rate. It doesn't seem to be the narrative about the Milwaukee metro area in this day and age necessarily, does it?
No, the narrative of Milwaukee is always it's war out there. You're going to get robbed. It's so dangerous.
And we're lazy and we're not motivated and we just want to lie in the hammock of unemployment benefits
while receiving your free no working check.
That's right. And so I think we need to pay attention to some of these numbers sometimes because it's empirical data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and you can't really mess with this data. And it is saying that Milwaukee has one of the lowest unemployment rates of any large metro in the country, and I think that's a pretty significant thing. And I think so the others in the top five lowest, we've got the Hartford, Connecticut metro area, Cleveland, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Oklahoma City, Birmingham, and then Milwaukee is tied with Miami and Nashville at fifth for a 2.9% unemployment rate as of October 2024, the most recent release. Pretty interesting.
But nobody wants to work anymore.
And so those are the numbers for the large metros in the United States. And then we can also take another look at, any size metro in the United States. And so among the lowest 15 rates for metro areas in the entire country, Madison is in one of the lowest. I think it's like sixth lowest, 2.0%. And then there are six other Wisconsin cities that are among the lowest 15 rates for metro areas in the country, all at 2.1 or 2.2%. And that would be Appleton, La Crosse, Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Sheboygan, all among the lowest 15 rates of metro areas in the country. And so if you look at this map, expand it beyond Wisconsin, you can really see, I think Wisconsin and Minnesota in particular have some very low unemployment rates if you're looking kind of like across the Midwest for some of these as well. But I think, we need to be talking more about this type of economic data because when Republicans dominate the conversation on the economy, you can use when they talk about like how great the economy was under Trump, you can use the exact same metrics that they say, those traditional metrics, the stock market, the unemployment rate, the inflation rate, whatever it might be, that is indicating a certain economic strength. You can use many of those same traditional metrics to talk about how the economy currently is as good or better than the economy was 4 years ago, pre-pandemic, at least, under Trump.
But I think it's tough, Dan, to get people, again, people's lived experience is always going to carry more weight than any kind of statistic that you can show them, whether it's completely accurate or not. And I think the messaging remains the problem. And I don't know how you get that to come across to folks.
I don't disagree with you. I agree that we need to get the word out there. And I agree with Jane that it's always been difficult to do. The Democrats have been incredibly bad at messaging it, but also taking their victory laps too. Mm-hmm. The amount of victories that Tony Evers has had, bipartisan work with the legislature, we've had in Milwaukee. Cavalier Johnson's much better at it than Tony Evers, but they're not good at getting their flowers for the accomplishments that they have. And also, you said these are numbers from the Department of Labor. You can't mess with them. That's the other problem. It doesn't matter who they come from. They come from the Department of Labor. I agree. Can't mess with that. That's real research right there. But you tell people it's 2.9. It's some of the lowest in the country. And Milwaukee's thriving. People are like, no, it's not true at all.
I don't believe that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your numbers? The Department of Labor. No, that's fake news. Joe Biden's Labor Department. I don't believe that at all. So that is the other problem we see, is that we have these great numbers. We have from a macro level, a great economy. From a micro level, tougher to discuss.
That's the thing. And I think that is, it's often a challenge for Democrats because I think Democrats recognize that like these traditional metrics don't always show the pain, the difficulties that people are facing on an individual level. But I think if you're looking at like a macro look at the economy, if you look at, you know, 2017 through 2019, when people are talking about, you know, I think there was some Trump guy on CNN last night talking about it was the best economy that we've seen in decades or whatever. Yeah. Use those same traditional metrics to look at what's happening now and look at what's happening in Wisconsin right now when we are at basically a near full employment type of situation where we probably need more people to come to the state to fill some of the jobs that are not getting filled. And I think we need to have these conversations grounded in reality and recognize these data points that are not the end all be all, but they show part of the picture. It's just like, you know, I'm a basketball fan, right? If you want to look at how things are going, you can look at the win loss record. You can look at strength of schedule. You can look at, you know, the analytics, but I think you also need to watch the games and see the whole picture too. And so I think that is part of these economic data points, but you still, you know, if Giannis scores 40 points, you still should talk about that too, right? And so if Wisconsin has all of these metro areas with the lowest unemployment rates in the state, at least have that out there and be part of the conversation. Because, you know, I saw this. The reason I kind of looked this up is I saw a story out of Cleveland that their mayor was touting that they had the second lowest unemployment rate in the country. And I was like, oh, well, I wonder where Milwaukee is.
Yeah.
And it's just a couple, you know, couple percentage points behind. And I think we need to have these conversations. And I think when I was in the business news reporting world back when I was at the Milwaukee Business Journal or Biz Times, when there was a Democratic president, they would bring up all of these unemployment rates all of the time and criticize Barack Obama and blah, blah, blah. But now we just don't hear about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if this is a thing of, hey, Democrats need to get out there and say, hey, we have a very low unemployment rate in Wisconsin. Things are going great here. Or if we in the media need to just really, you know, be better about being consistent in our reporting about certain metrics like this.
But I think one of the bigger problems, Dan, and I think we're going to talk about this on Monday, are how there are so many news deserts now in this country because small local papers have died off and small radio stations have either died off or become all automated. That is a really big problem with trying to get correct information out is what are your options where you live? And I think that's one of the reasons why I think everybody at Civic Media is so proud of what we're doing, trying to counter that and bring accurate information to areas where maybe they've only heard one side for the last 25 years.
And I think, you know, we can talk about it and the media can talk about it till we're blue in the face. And I think what the leaders have to do is get better with their operations of communicating to people, because they have to go out there and say, hey, we got a 2.9% unemployment rate. This is good. But there are people in that 2.9% who still don't have jobs, and we need to work to find opportunities for them. This fight isn't over. The economy is doing great, but it's not great for everyone still. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we are taking care of everyone, regardless of who you voted for, we want to take care of all of those individuals and find opportunities for all. And I think that's an easy thing for especially a Tony Evers to say, because to me, you know, call me naive, but Tony Evers strikes me as someone who genuinely cares about the people and wants to make sure that everyone's got their shot. And he can go out there and he is his aw shucks, it works, but he does tend to get a little, I don't know how to say it, but he can ramble a little or get a little off topic or whatever. But he definitely is one of those guys who can go out there and get this message out there while recognizing that we still have work to do and include those individuals who are part of the unemployment, that 2.9.
So. Yeah, and to recognize that this is something to build on and not that this is the – you know, there was a great quote from Tammy Baldwin when I interviewed her this summer that I have it pinned on my laptop. It says, never mistake progress for victory.
There it is.
So there you go. That's good. Yeah.
I love that.
Matt from Middleton texted in too, and he said it's about repeating the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Flood the zone.
Yes,
and I think he's right about the messaging. It's about repeating it over and over and over and over again. And again, hopefully we'd love to see some more little scrappy startup media companies try and fill some of those news deserts. That would help too.
So just to repeat it then, Jane, just take your advice immediately. Many of the lowest unemployment rates in the U.S. metro areas are in Wisconsin. Madison, 2.0%. Appleton, 2.1%. La Crosse, 2.1%. Wausau, 2.1%. Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Sheboygan, all at 2.2%. All among the lowest 15 cities for metro areas in the country.
But to
that's pretty great.
To take that and put a Tammy Baldwin spin on it, that's great. But we don't stop there.
That's right. Never mistake progress for victory.
Heck yeah.
All right. We got about 90 seconds left, Dan. Let's talk real quickly about the Bucks.
The Bucks are in the NBA Cup, which I know Greg is very excited about. I was hearing him talk about it on Up North News the other day. The Milwaukee Bucks will be playing the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night in Las Vegas as part of the NBA Cup.
I'm so excited. I mean, my own theme
Greg
song
Greg has
for it.
NBA Cup fever. I can just sense it right here.
I've got a fever
in the room. Saturday at 3:30, the Bucks will take on the Hawks, and then the following day, there will be the NBA Cup Championship in Las Vegas that everybody around the country is just thrilled and excited for and not at all confused about what's happening. But, you know, I guess the Bucks will get to play an extra game. Always fun to watch Giannis. They're going for the Bucks Cup.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It is fantastic. Dan Schaefer, the author of said Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. Thank you so much, Dan. We will see you next Friday. Stay with us. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Here's Looking at You, Kid edition. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Why are you shaking your head? Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
Someone misspelled wish.
It's W-I-S-H.
Look at me. I didn't do it. I'm just saying somebody 3 minutes ago, W-I-I-S-H. You please come back to us, whoever that was.
Well, yeah, and sometimes if you do a voice to text, that's where that problem comes in.
Yarp.
So it's just four letters, folks. We want you to get your entry in. Text the word WISH, W-I-S-H, until noon to be entered in our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. This hour we're playing for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And we just had Sage in our group chat, and I think this is really important. Ooh. If you enter the contest and you don't get a text back from us, because that's where you can sign up for the bonus entry. If you don't get a text back from us, it's either because you misspelled the word or you have already texted stop to us. And so then we can't send you anything.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting any replies when you text in, then text start. So you will unblock us.
That makes sense.
Does that help?
That makes a lot of sense.
Right,
Sage
that makes a lot of sense.
For the win.
He
uses them brains in the noggin.
He's a thinker. So text the word WISH via the Civic Media app and good luck. I want to give you a heads up right now. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, is going to be with us on Monday at 10:33. Mondays with Mr. Global. Really looking forward to talking to him. The president-elect once again saying that he wants to lower food costs, although he thinks it's going to be much harder to do than he said when he was running, by the way.
Read Time Magazine's interview. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, he thinks, again, by cutting energy costs, that's going to bring the price of food down. And also, he's threatening Canada now with all these tariffs on oil. That's going to help us a whole bunch. Mr. Global is an oil and gas industry expert. He's been in it for 30 years. He has his own oil company in Oklahoma. He's very, very knowledgeable. He has the facts and the charts to back up everything he says and annoy everyone. So he's really a great guest. That is coming up on Monday at 10:33. Right now, though, it's 11:54. Calvin, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing is the Here's Looking at You Kid edition. We have mixed feelings about this, though, Greg Bach.
Yeah, we do.
Part of us, we'll tell you what it is first. Yeah, here's the headline from Alex Mitchell in the New York Post. Vandals are putting hilarious googly eyes on outdoor sculptures, but local officials aren't laughing. Talk about a sight for sore eyes. Bend, Oregon, have noticed that someone is taping great big googly eyes onto roadside sculptures, and it's costing them money to retake them down. We're talking about, you know, like deer statues. If you can imagine just any kind of public artwork, even if it's just a round ball, they'll put eyes on it so it looks like there's eyes on the round ball.
Yeah.
There are some pretty funny pictures there.
I would like to know, and I'm sure through a FOIA request we could find out, how much the actual cost is. Because, I mean, how much does it cost to just go, took them down? You might have to, like, get some Goo Gone on there and polish it up a little bit. But we're not talking millions of dollars are being spent on saving these statues of deer.
This Bend, the city in Oregon, posted to its Instagram account, quote, "While the googly eyes placed on various art pieces around town might give you a chuckle, it costs money to remove them with care so as to not damage the art. The removal has run upward of $1,500 because of the adhesive on the googly eyeballs. Horton steel can lose rust patches from adhesives needing chemical treatment to rust evenly. Stainless steel requires strong solvents to remove the adhesive residue. Now, the Bend government is bargaining with folks, saying, while we don't condone putting on wreaths, Lays, or Santa hats, it would be better than adhesives, graffiti, and all things that can damage the art. So they're asking folks to stop with the googly eyes.
And just put hats on them now?
And just put a wreath around the neck of the deer.
I have a solution. You get a pair of googly eyes. Don't use the adhesive patches. Poke holes in the sides of them. Tie them around with string so they're still there, but the string is holding them up. And all I have to do is just get a hardy American-made pair of scissors. Cut them down.
I'll
donate 10 pair of scissors to Bend, Oregon. If you implement this tactic, the silliness is held up, the lovability is held up, and the art is saved.
Is protected.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah.
We're going to include this article in our show notes so you can take a look at the deer with the great big googly eyes. I think it's hilarious. That wraps up today's edition of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news that is coming up next, followed by the one and only Todd Alba, who is out on the left coast. He's in Seattle.
So cool.
He's going to be at the Packer game this weekend. So check out Todd. He's got your next keyword coming your way in the 1 o'clock hour. Thank you so much, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you Monday.
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.